This day on Palm Sunday, of course we all know the story, but starting at verse 28, don't would stand with me as we read God's word. When you find your place, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Start reading it. Luke 19, verse 28. And when he had thus spoken, he went before ascending up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass, when he was come nigh to Bethphage and Bethany at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, Go ye into the village over against you, in the which at your entering you shall find a colt tied, whereon never man sat. Loose him and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, Why do ye loose him? Thus shall you say unto him, Because the Lord hath need of him. And they that were sent went their way and found even as he said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof came unto them, Why loose ye the colt? And they said, The Lord hath need of him. And they brought him to Jesus. And they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Some of the Pharisees among the multitude said to them, Master, rebuke thy disciples. He answered and said unto him, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, If thou hast known, even thou at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. Let's pray. Father, thank you again. Thank you for this passage. Thank you, Lord, for this event. Lord, I thank you that you rode in to Jerusalem as Lord of Lords. Come in peaceful. Lord, you're our Lord. Father, I pray that you'd take this message and use it to your glory and honor today. That you would exalt yourself, that you would exalt the Most High. We would be debased. Father, we love you and praise you and thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. John's account, even he mentions I've got it on, Brother Ray. John's account mentions that they had palm branches. I want to share a message with you this morning. Why loose ye the colt? Why loose ye the colt? This, as I started thinking on what to preach and praying about what to preach this week, I thought of this passage and then this statement just came to my mind pretty early, and I knowed what I was going to preach about. Sometimes I don't get it early. Sometimes I do. I got it fairly early in the week, I think maybe even Monday. And I got to thinking about, why loose ye the colt? And that was the question that he said would be asked. And that was the question they asked when they went and untied the colt to bring him. Is what in the world are you untying that little donkey for? And of course we know a donkey is a beast of burden. But I want to, here in verse 28, he said that the Bible says that he was ascending up to Jerusalem. Now Jerusalem, the word, the name, the meaning of the word, and of course it's from Salem, and then it's Jerusalem. Jerusalem actually means vision of peace. And we think of Jerusalem of thinking of peace. And did Jesus here this day was heading. They were heading and they were going to end up in Jerusalem. And I'm thinking of us as Christians going through life, we want to end up in peace, don't we? If I ask you a question this morning and I took a poll, what's one thing that we're lacking in the world today? It's peace, isn't it? What's something in the United States? It's peace. In a lot of our homes, it's peace that we're lacking. And the Lord just grabbed my heart on this passage. And I was thinking today about the peace of God which passes all understanding. See, I think we need it more today than we ever have. I think that there's a famine of peace in the land. I think there's a famine of peace in the world today. And Jesus was heading to Jerusalem. And the little colt is the means to get there. That was his means. That was what was going to carry Jesus in to Jerusalem. And today, why unleash you the cold? And the Lord just stirred me up in such a special way of this so we can have peace. To give us and take us to the peace that passes all understanding. I tell you, and I dare to say that we all struggle with anxiety at times. We all have problems that we have to deal with, and our emotions race, and the cares of this world just kind of... And we're going so many different ways. We don't know where we're going to go first. We're pulled and tugged and whoo!
Am I the only one that ever gets like that? Or sometimes I dislike peace, don't you? I know it's going to sound crazy, but a water rippling or a ride on a four-wheeler, that's the two biggest things that bring peace to me. There's nothing that it calms old boy down anymore than to spend about an hour up in the mountains on a four-wheeler. I'm crazy, isn't it? You know. But the world is looking for peace. Jerusalem don't have it anymore. They didn't have it then. I'm going to share that with you in a little bit. In John 14:27, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you, not as the world giveth. Give I it unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither be afraid." That He is the peace giver. He's the peace speaker. You'll never have peace without Jesus Christ. The peace, and I looked at the definition of it, the peace is absence of conflict or discord. The absence of conflict and discord. Whew. I'd say we don't have peace, wouldn't you? You think of the divorce in the land today, even in the church. You think of the violence that we have. You think of all the overseas violence, murders, all the crime running rampant. I mean, it's got to the point where one of our big thing that we're spending a lot of time on now is security in the church. And the United States is right now in a big debate and a lot of turmoil over how to keep schools safe. Now, a few years ago, did you ever think you'd have to have people keeping the schools and the churches safe? We're lacking peace, aren't we? We got discord. We got conflict. So we're going to look and spend a few minutes on how that we think what it takes to get us there. See, we need today to be heading toward Jerusalem. We need to have our minds set on peace. How many would like to say, "Brother Tim, if you can give me..." I believe if I wrote a book on this and it was successful, I could really be successful on it, don't you? How to have peace. Amen. I ought to be rich because I've got the answer. It's already been written, hasn't it? Why leash you? Bethphage was here, and the meaning of it is the house of unripe figs. And this was here, the two places here in 29, before they started to Jerusalem, they started out in and got the colt and everything at Bethphage and Bethany. And Bethphage is a house of unripe figs. This was the covenant or the ceremonial limitations for a Sabbath day. You read in certain places, it talks about a Sabbath day's journey. That's as far as the law would allow you to walk that day, about a mile. So this was a Sabbath day's journey, so it was within a mile of Jerusalem. And it was at the limits of the ceremonial, the Sabbath traveling. Now, Bethany was beyond the limits. But this one was right at the limit. So the Sanhedrin was set up here. It was two big difference of Sanhedrin. One was in Jerusalem, the other one was here. This is where they did a lot of the condemning to death. They took care of a lot of the problems and a lot of the things was here at this. But also, I thinking on this of being fruitful. What's the only thing that you ever seen in the Bible that Jesus cursed? The fig tree. He cursed the fig tree. Why did he curse it? wasn't putting fruit out. It wasn't bearing fruit. And you think of the Bethphage here, of the unripe fruit, but then you got to go and think about the Pharisees and where they are. How much fruit did the Pharisees bear? Not very much, did they? So I think that one of the secrets to getting to peace is by being fruitful. It's real important. Jesus spent a lot of time that we bear fruit. In John chapter 15, he said we bear fruit, we bear more fruit, and then we bear much fruit. It's important that he spend time and really build on bearing fruit. Matthew 21:43, Jesus said, "Therefore I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof." It was took away from the nation Israel and give to the Gentiles. Amen? And so that we think of bearing fruit, folks, it's important that we bear fruit. Now, when we think of bearing fruit, we think of witnessing and winning people to the Lord, and that's all. But I tell you, there's a lot more involved in bearing fruit than just that. Of being faithful to the cause of the Lord, being faithful to Him in prayer, being faithful to Him in Bible study, being faithful in witnessing, being faithful to our families, being faithful to the house of God, being faithful to the causes of God, being faithful. It is found that a man must be found faithful. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as some has. As ye see the day much more approaching. It is. We need more today than ever some folks that will be faithful to the cause of God. Amen. Lord, just not let me go from there. I was going on, but he told me back. People won't even be faithful to work anymore. Amen. It's hard finding somebody to work. People's not faithful to their spouses. People's not faithful to their parents. Folks are not faithful into the things of God. It's important that you're faithful. It's important that you're faithful when you're tithing. Now, you know I don't say much about tithing, hardly ever mention it. But I will say this about tithing, that if you don't tithe, you are cheating yourself. Amen? You're cheating yourself out of it. I mean, this is a given church, and I thank you and praise the Lord for you. But when you don't tithe, you cheat yourself out of blessings. Malachi 3:3, he said, "Try me and see." This area, he said, "Try me and see if I'll not open the windows of heaven and pour a blessing upon you that you can't hold it, can't even stand it." And it's important that we support the work of God. Missionaries are having to come off of the field to raise money. That's because we're not tithing. And it's important that a man be found faithful. And it's important that you're found faithful in the house of God. I seen a church sign the other day, or sometime back, said, "We are open between Christmas and Easter." Well, going down, look at Bethany. This is a house of affliction, or the poor. Also, some call it house of dates, and some the house of affliction. But this was out of the ceremonial law. And Bethany is where a lot of the sick folks was. It was called an almshouse. This is where they, kind of the hospital-like, and I think maybe some of the lepers, wasn't Simon the leper's house was in Bethany. And this was out of the ceremony limits, so this was the house of affliction. This was where the sick folks was. This was where the uncleanness was. Boy, ain't you glad Jesus didn't stop at Bethany? He went all the way down to Bethany. Aren't you glad that He's concerned about us that's afflicted, that us that's afflicted by sin, that sin has destroyed us and has taken us to hell? And He didn't stop at Israel. He come on down to the Gentiles. Well, glory. I'm so glad this morning that He don't stop and He comes all the way. He said, I came to save the sick. The whole don't need a physician, do they? Whoo, glory, hallelujah. Well, I tell you, sometimes I get to thinking about what He done and where He saved me, and I'm on my way to heaven, and I don't have to go to hell. I just get so excited. As the preacher cuts on, you say, the Holy Spirit run up down the avenues of my soul. Glory, hallelujah. Aren't you glad this morning He didn't stop, and He went on a little further? Praise the Lord. Ephesians 2:14 says, for He is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Now, I know you've heard me say it. If you're born again and you're saved, you're just as Jewish as anybody is. Hey, man, ain't that good? Well, we got Jewish blood in us now. We've been engrafted in. That middle partition that separated everything, separated man from God, was tore down. And now we all become one. And we have direct access to the throne of God. Well, glory. See, another means heading toward Jerusalem is that we got to take care of the sick and afflicted and the poor. James said in 1:27, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. This is where today's church is. I'm not sure there's as much of that going on as they ought to be. Now, I know people tries to take advantage, but I think a church going to have to give an account for some of not taking care of some folks that we're supposed to take care of. Visiting the sick and afflicted. I think, this ministry was near and dear to Jesus' heart. This is who He went to. He came to heal and to save. All right, I'm through the introduction. You're ready for the message now. Why loose ye the colt? The first one is because the Lord hath need of him. That's how they answered when they went. And Jesus said to answer, tell them the Lord hath need of him. In verse 29, the Bible said that he sent two of his disciples. He sent two of his disciples out into there to get the colt. John 13:13 says, ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. The first thing that I think that we really need to get in our minds and really get a hold of in 2018 is that He's still Lord. He's still in control. He's still God. He's still on the throne. He still sets leaders up. He still takes them down. He's still on the saving business. He's still God. He's still in control. And there's nothing that we do that He don't allow or keep us from. Anything that happens, He allows it. He's God of the universe. He's Lord of all. He's my Savior and He's my King. He's still Lord. I heard it said years ago, He's Lord of all, or He's not Lord at all. He's still God. I'm afraid that the day's time, we've diminished that. See, we've got plush seats now. Didn't have that years ago. Preachers wasn't as long-winded as me back in, so it wasn't as bad. And we've got air conditioning now. What was the preacher said the other night? Said, used to, the local funeral home supplied the air conditioning. Now we've got air conditioning. We're comfortable. Most of us got a few bucks in the bank, a few dollars in our pocket. If all else fails, we got a credit card. Glory. We don't need God as much as we used to. But He's still Lord. And the reason we got a few bucks is because of Him. The reason we got comfortable pews is because of Him. The reason we've got the things we've got is the blessings from God. And He has smiled on America and loves America and has blessed us abundantly. Amen. If you've never been in a foreign country, you ought to try it sometime. Be sure to get your round ticket so you won't no problems getting back out. But these other nations not blessed like us. I've not been anywhere yet where I say, boy, they've got more than we got. I tell you, when we left Brazil, and I know I've told you, we finally got to the airport and I got my eye set on the gate that I was going out of. I was not moving. And we love Dave and Annette, but I'm telling you, I was coming home. Rhonda said, there's some shops up here on the second floor. Let's go up and look at some of them. I said, you go right ahead. I'm sitting here, and if they call before you get back, I'll be on the plane. That's the truth. It's good to visit, but it's good to get home. I'm telling you, we're blessed in America. God has blessed America, and it's because of Him. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Who is Jehovah? Who is Jesus, my Savior? Glory, hallelujah. Ain't you glad of the blessings of America? But He's still God. He's still on the throne and He's still in control. Amen. Praise the Lord. I don't know if I'm going to get through this thing or not. He said in verses 16 and 17 of John chapter 13. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that sent him greater than, neither is he sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye when ye do them. What does Jesus say? If you love me, live like you want to. If you love me, keep my commandments, doesn't he? Here he said, happy are you when you do these things. Or blessed. We'll have peace when we do these things. It's not a bunch of laws. He just come up and says, well, I'm going to make these people miserable. It's for our own benefit, the first thing. He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Then in verse 30, he said to go over into the village, enter, and you find a colt tied, which on never a man sat. I tell you, when we answer God's call in our lives, whatever that call is, of course, the first one is the call of salvation. You may be here not answered that call this morning. I don't know. But that's the most important call that He'll ever call, is to tug on your heart and say, you need a Savior. You need to be saved. And I've come to save you. It's my job to save you. And that's the call of the Lord, the person of the Holy Spirit. And that's the foremost number one thing. We got to take that care of before you can ever have peace. But then it's the service. We're called to service of the Lord. Do you know your calling? See, it's God's call, not man's cares. What runs our lives? What is it, the word, the old saying is, the squeaky wheel gets the oil. It's the fires in our life and the things in our life that rules us and controls us. We're more under the wheel of the squeaky wheel than we are the will of God. Amen? See, the calling on our lives is most important. Our peace is dependent upon our obedience. Jesus told him here, verse 29, he sent two, and then he said in verse 30, go ye into the village and get that colt where no man's ever sat. Their obedience was going to be the result of him getting that colt. What if they said, well, it's awful pretty. I think I'm going to go fishing today. I'll get that colt on the way back. Well, I said, well, boy, it's awful nice. I think I'm going to have a round of golf in, Brother Jim. Think I'm just going to go for a ride. Think I'm going to drive over here. No, they went right straight and untied that little donkey and brought him to Jesus. And he accomplished the mission. See, it's he can save the whole world, never use neither one of us. He don't need us, but He's chose to use us and let us be part of the blessings. When you give in to the missionaries, when we get the glory, you give in to family ministries, all those babies that's being saved, all those things being saved, that's being accredited to your account. And when we get the glory, there'll be folks from the Philippines and Brazil and other places will come up and they'll shake our hands and say, thank you for giving. I was saved because you've obeyed the Lord. I'm convinced of that. Being obedient to the service of God. You might say, we get so wound up, and I know I've said this, but When Rhonda and I first nailed it down in 1993, I wore the Lord out. It may be why He called me to preach. I wore the Lord out. Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? What's your will in my life? I prayed and I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. Lord, I want to be in your will. What's your will? Well, I'd come to the altar just to pray for God's will in my life. Just constantly. I was frantic sometimes. I really struggled over the call. But boy, when I got there, it's the peace that passes all understanding. I'm more peaceful than I've ever been. Because I'm in His will. I know that I'm in God's will where I'm supposed to be. And folks, when we get there, I heard a message, is where is there, about God's will. When we get there, you'll find peace that you've never found. It'll surpass anything that you've ever had. It might be in a lion's den, But it's still the safest place you could ever be when you're in God's will. We've seen that the Lord hath need of it. The second point is the Lord hath what we need. Aren't you glad of that? The Lord's got what we need. You got a need this morning, I can give you the answer. He has got what we need. I like that passage in verse 34, that's that 35. And they brought him to Jesus. Glory, hallelujah. What have you got that you need to bring to Jesus this morning? See, He wants all of our conflicts. Just like that song we sung, He's Lord of all. All my failures, all my everything. He wants the whole lock, stock, and barrel, the whole enchilada. He wants every bit of it. He wants your problems. He wants your needs. He wants your conflicts. He wants your battles. He wants your wars. He wants every need, every problem you got, and bring it right to Him. And lay it at His feet. 1 Peter 5:7 said, casting all our cares on Him, because He careth for us. Ain't you glad that we can cast our problems and our cares on Him? They brought it all to Him and laid it at His feet. In John chapter 12, verse 13, said He took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet Him and cried, Hosanna, blessed King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Everything they had, they laid down before Him. They laid the palm branches before Him. They laid the clothes down before Him. They laid it all out at Him. That's what He wants this morning, for us to lay it all out. Give it all to Him. Let Him have all of it. We've dealt with it long enough. You got something that's bothered you for years and has brought you down and bogged you down and say, Brother Tim, I can't get peace. Well, it's time to let Him have it. It's time to lay it on that old coat and let Him carry it for a while. That's why we loose the coat, is to help us with our burdens and our troubles. And you know something else I've seen in this passage, and I'm sure glad of. Unless you're just maybe a city slicker, might not really appreciate this. But He still said to them that they go find the colt tied. Ain't you glad you didn't have to fight that wild colt? The hardest thing in the world is putting a bridle on a colt that has never been rode. You ever been there? Jesus already got the bridle on. Glory, hallelujah. I just ran all over me yesterday when I got a dose of that. We don't have to fight it. We don't have to struggle with it. He's took care of the struggle. He took care of it on Mount Calvary. He did all and made it easy so we could walk right in. Glory, hallelujah. Aren't you glad of that today? He took the fight out of it. He took the sting out of death. And gives us peace and life. In Zechariah 9:9 is the passage that this triumphal entry fulfilled. And he says that, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, shout, O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. Rejoice greatly. I want to tell you that I'm so glad that He's already put the halter on Him. He's already broke Him. In Matthew 11:28, the Bible says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's one of my most favorite passages in the Bible. Take my yoke. Learn of me. I'm meek and lowly. And we shall find rest for our souls. Verse 38. They quote the same thing. Blessed be the king that cometh in the name of the Lord. And I like this. Peace in heaven. Peace in heaven. The Prince of Peace makes peace between us and God. It's because of Him that we can have peace with God. Then automatically, that it says, and glory in the highest. You know, as Frank Woods would say, just take a recess and shout it right there for a little while. I tell you, I honestly believe when we get to heaven, we're going to be embarrassed no more than we've praised Him down here. No more than we've exalted Him. No more than we've lifted our hands. No more than we've shouted. When we see with the glory that we'll behold. When we see what He has made for us and what He left to come and make it possible, we're going to say, oh, Lord, I wish I'd have praised You more down there. Let me ask you something. This is going to be one of them hard ones. Do you want a stone to cry out for you? I don't want a stone to have to cry out for Tim Broyles. I don't want my name on one and say, boy, that one's cried out. That one's praised me because Tim wouldn't. And I'll tell you something else. I want to go ahead and get wound up down here and learn how to praise the Lord, that when I go through the gates, I'm already shouting and I'm already praising Him. And it don't have to take me off to the side of praise and worship 101 and say, before you get into heaven, you're going to have to learn how to praise the Lord. Well, glory, I want to go ahead and start praising Him down here. How about you this morning? It's all right to praise Him. It's all right to shout. It's all right to get excited. Now, you don't have to, but it's all right. Then, I'm just about finished. I won't be over 30 minutes, Gary, I promise you that. The Lord has been turned away. The Lord's been turned away. In verse 41 and 42, and when He was come near, He beheld the city and wept. When He seen Jerusalem, He just broke loose crying, saying, if thou hadst known, even thou at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from their eyes, from thine eyes. Have you ever, how many times have we read this passage? Did you know peace was in it as much as it is? It never had hit me. I never had picked up on it. And the Lord just really stirred me on this passage. He cried because they didn't have the peace that He had brought them. If you'd have known. Wonder how many times He cries. When we're struggling, when we're wringing our hands, when we don't know which way to turn, when we don't know where to go, when we don't know who to call next, we're just so tore up and we're so embodied and got so much going on. And He's, Tim, if only you knew. If only you knew the peace that you could have. If only you knew that what you're letting go right through. And I'll tell you what's worse than that. We'll be standing at the judgment. And standing before God. And you say, if only you knew. You could have missed hell. You could have missed all this turmoil in your life. But you would not have none of it. Whew. His own people had him killed. Of course, Jesus came to die, and it was, but they'd have been another way. God would have come up with another way. How much of God's peace and prosperity is hid in us? John 16:33 says, "These things have I spoken to you that you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Praise the Lord. There's where your peace is this morning. There's where you can anchor in and get into the peace. Hebrews 7:1-2 says, "For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace." Jesus is your king of peace today. And I'll go as far to say, without him, you'll never have peace. We can still be saved and still not have the peace that passes all understanding. We've got to give it all to him. We have to be like the little boy that the ushers come around taking up the offering one day, and the little boy said, "Let it down a little bit." He let it down, and he said, "Let it on down." And he kept on till he set it all the way on the ground. Then the little boy stepped in the offering plate. He gave him his whole self. If you want peace, give him everything. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day, and we're so thankful for the peace that you do give.